Samuel chapter number 3, and I want to obey the Lord. This is the message I woke up with on my heart this morning, and I have not been here, so I don't know what's been preached and what hadn't been preached, and that's a blessing. And I'm thankful for Brother Raines' message last night, and it was a blessing, wasn't it? Amen. And I want to mind God this morning. If you're able and willing, stand for the reading and reverence of God's Word. In 1 Samuel chapter number 3, we'll read just a few verses here, and I'll give you the thought that's on my heart this morning. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 3 verse 1, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at the time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see." Now verse 3 is where we'll take our text. Well, I want you to look at this first phrase. It says, "And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord." Ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." This morning, with the Lord's help, I want to preach on this thought. Why ain't we burning? Why ain't we burning? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for this day, dear God. I thank You for all You've done for us today, dear Jesus, Lord God. I thank You for the beautiful songs of Zion this morning, dear God. And there's been a special touch on the singing this morning, and we thank You for that. Lord God, I thank You that You're altogether lovely, dear God. You're the lily of all my valleys, dear God. You are the bright morning star, the rose of Sharon, my portion in the land of the living. Now I pray, dear God, this morning that You fill me with the Holy Ghost of God. I pray that You give me unction and liberty and power to preach the Word of God. I pray that You give me boldness and compassion, the heart of a dove, the skin of an alligator, and the backbone of a saw log this morning, dear God, to preach Your Word and touch His people, touch His preacher. And we love You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You. Might be seated. I want to preach on that thought this morning. Why ain't we burning? Now, I know that's not very good English, amen, but I want to preach on why ain't we burning this morning, amen. I see this text, and I'll give you an introduction and then get into our message, but I see this text that Samuel lived in a very familiar day to what we're living in today, amen. That it was a day that godliness had departed God's people. At the end of Judges, it said that they had done that which was right in their own eyes, amen. They had rebelled. Every time God would bring them out of under captivity, they would rebel against God, bring in other gods, they would live like dogs, and they came right back into captivity, and God would have to put her under bondage again. And Israel, the God's people, godliness had departed. And if we've ever lived in a day where our society, not just our society, but our church crowd, godliness has departed, can somebody say amen right there? I'm telling you, we live in a day when it's all right to do wrong, and it's wrong to do right, amen. People don't bless anymore. Everything's okay. You just do as you please. But I want to tell you and remind you this morning, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death this morning. And I'm telling you, we live in a day where godliness has departed. The sad thing is that the church crowd's living just like the lost crowd, amen. It's not the contemporary movement that bothers me as much, Brother Sexton. It's the complacent movement that we got in here in our churches today. I'm against contemporary. I believe it's come out of hell and it's going back to hell, amen. I'm against it because it's a con and it's temporary, amen. But this morning, I believe that we have grieved God with our complacency, with our carnality. I believe we've grieved God with it, amen. And I see godliness has departed. People won't dress right, won't talk right, won't do anything like that anymore this morning. There's a day and a time. I was talking to a preacher the other day. He said, every preacher I knew 10 years ago preached against television. He said, now everybody's got one and a whole library of movies. Amen. And I'm not saying you're wicked as for having a television, but I'm telling you, we would never let it. I'm just going to preach this morning. Amen. We would never let nobody come into our living rooms and drink beer or liquor. We wouldn't let nobody come in and fornicate or commit adultery in our living rooms. We wouldn't let nobody come in our living room and shack up, but we turn it on every day, and we let our children watch it, and then we wonder why when they get 18 they go and fly off the handle and do whatever they want to. It's because mom and daddy taught them how to do it with the television, amen. Y'all pray for me this morning, amen. Godliness had departed. But I want to say God's men had departed. I'm not going to take time to read it, but in chapter 2, you know the story of Hophni and Phinehas and how they had stolen from the offering of the Lord and how they had put their hand in what was God's. And you better be careful putting your hand on what was God's. Amen. They had the right clothes on, but Samson, they were still in their priestly garments. They were still going to the right place of worship. They were still doing things on the outside that seemed right. But you read, I believe it's in verse 22 or 24 of that chapter, you'll find out that they were laying with the women at the feet of the tabernacle. I'm telling you this morning, it was a sensual, lascivious, greedy, a filthy lucre generation of men of God. Hey, and we're there again today, amen. Samuel didn't have nobody to look up to. Samuel didn't have nobody he could follow after. Eli had gotten old. Eli had gotten lazy. Eli had sitting down on the job, and Hophni and Phinehas were sons of Belial. They were serving the devil. And I want to tell you today, we got a lot of people claiming to be preachers running around this country. They live like the devil all the time. Then they want to get up in the pulpit with a King James Bible. I'm not talking about Joel Osteen. I'm talking about people that preach in churches we know. I'm telling you today, they dress like everybody else. They walk like everybody else. They listen to the same music. Somebody help me this morning. And I'm telling you this morning, they might call themselves a preacher. But I remember when Brother Samson, when God got a hold of my life, God called me out. I knew he wouldn't put his hand on something filthy. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I had to get rid of some things. And I believe we're living in a day and a time. The reason the men of God aren't preaching on sin anymore is because they're living in it, amen. I'm telling you today, everybody wants glory. Nobody wants any glory, amen. I'm telling you, we need some men of God once again today. If God calls you to preach, hey, you ought to put everything away. Hey, you ought to put everything else away and serve God with your whole life. We don't need any more Bible case. I'm not being mean, Brother Sexton. Hey, but we don't need any more police officer Christians. We don't need any more firefighter Christians. We need a group of young people to raise up, and God will call them. And I'm telling you, we need somebody to stand up for God. Amen. I guess it's going to be a little bit of shotgun preaching this morning. Y'all pray for me. Amen. But I believe God's glory had departed. God's glory had departed. The light had went out. Now you understand that this wasn't a light on the side of the wall. This was the menorah. This was the golden candlestick. I'm not trying to correct our King James Bible. I'd never do that. But in verse 3, it said it was at the temple of the Lord, and they called it the temple and the tabernacle. But what we're talking about here is the tabernacle, the curtains, as Brother Rains was talking about last night. We are talking about the tabernacle of the wilderness, and they were still at Shiloh at this point. They had not moved up to Jerusalem. Solomon had not yet built the temple in Jerusalem. So you've got to imagine today that as we walk in this, and use your mind this morning, as we walk into the tabernacle today, and you go past the first veil and you come into the Holy of Holies, that whole place was tinted over. It was tight, stretched tight. There was no outside light that could get in. And the only light that was in there was that of the golden candlestick. And it had gone out. And this morning I want to look at that menorah. Everybody know what I'm talking about? The seven golden candlesticks that in your mind, that seven pronged candlestick. This morning that's what I want to preach on. Why ain't we burning? Why did this go out and why aren't we burning anymore? Would you agree that we're not burning like we used to? And would you agree, some of the old timers, that I say that respectfully, but we're just not seeing meeting like we used to. We're just not seeing the move of God like we used to. And everybody could say, oh, we're in the Laodicean church age. And I'm not saying nothing negative about what Brother Rains preached. I agree with him. I believe we're in the Laodicean church age. Oh, but that's no excuse to roll over and play dead. That's no excuse. I believe you can be a Philadelphian in a Laodicean church age. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, Brother John, we need the power of God back on our generation. We need the fire of God back on our generation and the move of God once again. I see that golden candlestick. You just imagine in your mind this morning you're walking in that tabernacle. Go past that first veil. That golden candlestick would have set on that left side. But on the right side, and the first thing, reason I see that it wouldn't burn anymore is because they weren't familiar. They weren't familiar. You walk into that holy place, and on the right side there would have been the table of showbread. It would have been sitting on a table that was made of shittim wood, and that shittim wood there's still that wood is still present on the earth today from the time of Jacob, Brother Sexton. They have articles of that wood. It's almost indestructible. And that wood was a type of is a type of humanity, is a type of flesh in the Bible. And then that gold, it was wrapped in gold. That table was wrapped in gold, and that was a type of deity. And that table in itself was a type of Christ. It was all man and all God and all God and all man. But on top of that table was the showbread, and it was 6 loaves on this side and 6 loaves on this side, 12 by 12 or 6 by 6, 12 loaves in all. And on top of each loaf, and you read it in your Bible in Exodus, but on top of each loaf there was a measure of frankincense. And every morning those priests would go into the holy place, and they would go in and they would have to eat that bread. But before they could eat that bread, Brother Sexton, they had to eat that frankincense. That bread was sweet. That bread was nourishing. That bread was good to the taste. Oh, but before they could eat the sweet stuff, they had to eat some bitter stuff. Amen. I'm telling you, that bread this morning is a type of the Word of God. I'm talking about 6 or 12 loaves, 6 by 6. There's 66 books in your King James Bible. That bread, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Amen. Every morning they would go in and they were supposed to eat that bread. But apparently that had stopped. You say, how do you know that, Brother Chris? Well, the only way they could see to eat the bread is with that light. They didn't care if the light had went out, because they had quit going to the bread. And I'm telling you, the reason we don't care if the lights went out today, and I'm not being mean, I'm not being ugly, I'm not saying I've arrived. Oh, but this morning I'm telling you, we forgot about the Word of God. There's a lot of people hollering King James only, and I believe we ought to, but there's a lot of people hollering that, and they're living an NIV lifestyle. Somebody say amen. I'm telling you today, we need to get back to the Word of God. That they didn't care that the fire went out, because they didn't want the Word of God anymore. They didn't want the bread anymore. They didn't care that they couldn't eat the bread, because the fire went out. I'm telling you, we're never going to have the power of God back on us until we turn off some things and to put away some things and get back to the Word of God.
Amen.
If you kept going in that holy place, and this is not my main point, but they weren't familiar with some things. If you kept going straight ahead, there was that altar of incense. And that altar of incense was a type of the prayers of God's people going into the nostrils of God. It was a continually burning altar of incense. And this morning I want to say, oh my, we've forgotten about prayer, haven't we? Our generation's forgotten about prayer. We want it back in the schools, but I'm telling you, we need it back in the homes, amen. We need it back in the churches. The reason grandma and grandpa had the power of God on them is because they were poor. They didn't have much, Brother Sexton. They knew how to pray. They weren't the smartest people in the world, but they knew how to pray. I know this is simple, but I'm telling you, we need to get back to the prayer closets once again. We need to get back to the pine thickets once again. When we get off to the horns of the altar, the reason our fire's gone out is because we quit praying. It's because we quit going to the Word of God. We're not familiar with the things of God anymore. We're not familiar. And I'll hasten, but I see we're not familiar with the things of God. But I believe another reason we're not burning is because we're not formed. We're not formed. Now, y'all all seen in Hanukkah and all those things, they have those golden candlesticks, and this was a 7-pronged golden candlestick. Brother Jason, I got to studying on how that was made, and God, the Holy Ghost, or God told Moses that He was going to inspire these two artificers. I can't remember their names right offhand, but He was going to inspire these two artificers, these men that would make these things that God told Moses to make. And these men had a design in their mind that the Holy Ghost put there, that He knew exactly what that golden candlestick was supposed to look like. Now I'm going somewhere. Y'all hold on with me. Amen. That golden candlestick. Now, first of all, I want to ask you, where did this group of people, these Israelites, where did they get enough gold to make all these things? They had been in slavery for 430 years. Brother John, where did they get the gold to make all this? They had to come out of Egypt first. Can I say the reason a lot of us ain't burning is because we've never come out of Egypt, amen? We've crossed over the Red Sea and God saved us out of Egypt, but we went back across on a paddle boat and we're living in a 2-bedroom apartment up in the corner of Egypt and we're living like the Egyptians and we're talking like the Egyptians. Hey, but they never got with God. They never had the fire and the power of God until they came out of Egypt. When they came out of Egypt, they spoiled the Egyptians, and that's where the gold came from. This golden candlestick was a beaten work of pure gold. So what the Bible says in Exodus, Brother Seth said, I used to think that they had this form and they poured gold down in it, and that's how it was formed. That is not it at all. Those artificers, that what the books I've read, they would take a big block of gold and they put it in the oven. And they wouldn't heat it up to melt it, but they would heat it up just enough where they could work on it and they could beat on it. And they would put that gold in the fire and they would get it where it was pliable and they would take it out. And that artificer, Brother John, would get his hammer and would get his chisel and he would begin to beat on that piece of gold and begin to work on that piece of gold. And that artificer, in his mind, he knew exactly what that golden candlestick was going to look like at the end. He knew exactly what it was supposed to look like. Oh, but there had to be a lot of beating and a lot of fire go on to that piece of gold before it looked like what it was supposed to. Hey, honey, today, the Bible, you know the Bible says in Revelation 3, that or 1, 2, and 3, it talks about the 7 golden candlesticks. That candlestick's a type of the church. But I want to say today, that candlestick's also a type of the believer. And before God can get you looking like what He wants you to look like, He's going to have to put you through the fire. He's going to have to beat on you a little bit. My generation, Brother Sexton, it seems like every song that comes down the chute today, it's not about praising Jesus. It's about how to get out of the storm, or how to get around the storm, or how to get over the storm. And I'm telling you today, God didn't create the trial. He didn't create the fiery furnace. He didn't create it, and He didn't put you in it for you to get out of it. But He put you in it for you to get something out of it. Amen. I don't know everybody here, but I'm telling you, I guarantee you there's somebody here today that you're going through a fiery trial, you're going through a working, you're going through a beating, hey, and you're getting molded and you're getting beat upon, and everybody wants to be real quick to give the devil all the glory. Now I understand there's times that we get beat up by the devil, but more times than not, I believe, Brother Lockyer, I believe that God is molding us. He's taking time to beat on us, and to ply us, and to mold us, and press us. And you know what? We want my generation wants. We want the power of God without the pressings of God. We want the move of God without the moldings of God. But the Bible still says in Philippians 3:10 that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. We want the power without the pressings. I'm telling you this morning, honey, it's not going to happen. Amen. You may feel like you're about to get beat to death. You may feel like that fire you can't handle another time in the oven. Well, let me say, God's working it all for your good and His glory. Amen. I know that sounds real super spiritual, but I'm telling you, it's honest truth. God's doing that for you this morning. You know what that golden candlestick, and y'all all seen pictures of it. But that golden candlestick, I read this, Brother Sexton, but it talks about how it had knots, K-N-O-P-S, and almonds on it. You know, anybody care to guess how many knots and almonds that golden candlestick had on it? Had 66. Again, the number of the books of the Bible. Another type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what God's getting you to look like? He's not wanting you to look more like yourself. He's not wanting you to look more like your preacher, even though I love your preacher. He's not wanting you to look more like that. He's not wanting you to look like more than these other men of God or these ladies of God. God is molding you today because at the end of the line, He knows what He wants you to look like. He wants you to look like Him. And one day when we get up to glory, we'll be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Oh, but until then, He's got a beat on us. He's got a mold on us. I heard what my friend Brother David needs to say one time. If God sees it, it'll help you, He'll hurt you. I'm telling you today, the fire is not a burden. The fire is not God trying to whoop up on you. But the fire is a blessing. God is trying to mold you into something. I hadn't talked about this. Some of this church may be going through a fire, may be going through a molding. God's just trying to make your light shine brighter. There might be a family in here. Can I tell this? Am I okay, preacher? I don't know how much time I've got. I grew up in the country, amen. Somebody holler glory, amen. I like biscuits. Biscuits at breakfast, biscuits at lunch, biscuits at supper. Amen. I like biscuits. My wife said, well, we grew up on cornbread. I said, cornbread's nice too, as long as you have biscuits go along with that cornbread. Amen. But I remember growing up in high school, every morning, and that wasn't very long ago. Some of y'all thinking well, you just got out, didn't you? I was like, yeah, and I did. Amen. 25 years old. But I remember back in high school, every morning, me and my brother, we would get in my little S10 truck, and we would go to this convenience store named Buddy's. And in the back, they had this little cafe-looking thing. And y'all know where all the old men come and sit and gossip, amen, and talk about hunting and the weather. And Braves, the Braves, amen. And they would sit back here, and we would go in there, and every morning, I'd get me a sausage biscuit with mustard and a Coca-Cola. Somebody holler amen. And every once in a while, Brother Sexton, we would get going in there. And I'm talking about that was good stuff, amen. It was good biscuits. I mean, 282 before inflation hit, amen, every morning, amen. And I would go in there, and every once in a while, we'd be running a little bit late, and everybody else at the high school would be running a little bit late, too. And there'd be a line out the door, and them ladies would be back there, and Brother John, they'd still be using the same flour and the same Crisco, and they'd still be using the same salt. They'd still be using the same mix. But in haste, in trying to get more biscuits out, they'd reach over and turn that oven up. And Brother Sexton, they had put the same biscuits in with the same butter and same recipe, but they wouldn't stay in the fire as long. Now, when you got that biscuit on them mornings, Brother John, it was still golden brown on the outside. I'm talking about had the same sausage, the same mustard on the inside. Brother James, I'm telling you, it looked wonderful on the outside. But when you get out in that truck, in haste, they had tried to get more biscuits out, right? But you get out to that truck and you bite into that biscuit and it was the doughiest mess. You could have prayed over it for an hour and it wasn't going to make that biscuit no better. Because it had not been in the fire long enough. That biscuit was doughy. It looked all right on the outside to everybody else, to me, to everybody else. That biscuit looked wonderful. But once you bit into it, it was doughy. It wouldn't finish. And I'm telling you, we got a lot of Christians today. Hey, God's trying to mold you. God's trying to form you. But we want to get out. We want to get over. We want to get around. We want to get through it. God wants us to get in it. And He can use it to build us. Amen. Last December, and I'm trying to hurry. I know there's other people going to be preaching. Last December, last November actually, my wife and I, we were expecting twins. And Brother Sexton, I couldn't do the life of me. It seemed like everything was going fine. I remember I preached a message on November 17th of last year down in South Georgia. And I preached, the first time I preached is Lamentations 3. I preached on how to have hope in a hard place. And that night, Brother Raines, I got up and I preached and I told about everybody else's hard times. On the way home that evening, God, the Holy Ghost, on the way to the hotel, God, the Holy Ghost, smote my heart and He said, son, you're going to have to live that message. And I even told my wife that night. I said, we're going to have to. And it scared me, Brother Sexton. I ain't going to lie. I'm not trying to be super spiritual. I'm not asking to get beat up on, all right? But it scared me. And the next day, my wife began to miscarry the twins. And I didn't understand that, preacher. I couldn't fathom it. It was a 63-day ordeal. And even after that, my wife went into, and I'm not saying nothing that she wouldn't say, but it took a toll on her emotions. And I'm not downplaying that. I don't understand what that was, she was going through. But every day it seemed like we just woke up in a cave. Every day, Brother John, it seemed like we was having to just grasp for breath. And you remember during that time. We was hurting during that time. I'm talking about every morning, it seemed like we'd get up together and we just had to decide to fight the devil or go with the Lord, whatever it was. We had to just decide to go on together. And I remember about 2 weeks before it all kind of got better. I just got done preaching, Brother Wayne, and I hope I'm all right in saying all this, but I want to help somebody this morning. I got to the point where it was like it was hard to breathe. I didn't want to preach. I was preaching because I was booked, and y'all don't throw rocks at me, but I didn't want to preach because I couldn't even help myself, much less anybody else. And I was up in the pulpit one night, Brother Sexton, and God had moved in the service, and I finished preaching, and I went and sat down in the front row. I didn't feel like giving an altar call. I opened the altars, and people started coming, and I sat down. And Brother John, I'll never forget it. That night, God the Holy Ghost come and sat down with me. And I got down in that altar. Everybody else was down there, and I just went down there in the altar. And I said, God, I can't handle this anymore. But God, I began to resonate in my mind that verse. Thou may know Him in the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of the suffering. And I began to think about all the moldings that God had been putting in our life and all the pressings and all the trials. And I said, God, I can't handle this anymore. You got to help me. And that night I said, God, as long as You'll help me, if it means going through these pressings every day the rest of our life to have the power of God. And I'm not trying to sound spiritual preacher. I'm not trying to sound like I've arrived. But that night I said, God, if this is what it takes to have the power of God, so be it. And the problem wasn't fixed. The trial wasn't over, Brother John. The trial wasn't over. It was 2 weeks before any light came to them in the tunnel. Oh, but God came and lifted that burden up, Brother James. God moved it away. And God came and comforted me that night. And I'm telling you tonight, this morning, honey, hey, God wants to help you in your trial. God wants to help you in your storm. Not to just get out of it, but He wants you to get something out of it. He wants you to get something out of it. God, He has got a master plan like the preacher was talking about last night, and we want it to be all mountaintops. We just want to step from one mountaintop to the other. Hey, but I'm telling you, hey, back when I was growing up, we lived on the side of a mountain. You couldn't grow nothing on that mountain. Oh, but you get down there by the creek where all the dirt had washed down all those years, and you could plant you something, corn would be taller than this building. I'm telling you today, honey, hey, God's got a reason for your valley. God's got a reason for your trial. And for your person, let Him use it. Amen. We're not burning because we're not formed. And lastly this morning, we're not familiar, we're not formed. But I believe we're not burning because we're not filled. That golden candlestick every morning. Now this is what the priests were supposed to do. This is what God told Moses. That golden candlestick was designed to hold 12 hours of oil. It's amazing. It was hollow on the inside. It's amazing how they did it. I don't even know how they did it. But that golden candlestick, it would hold 12 hours of oil. And Brother Wayne, the first thing the priest was supposed to do every morning is he was supposed to go and fill that candlestick with oil. He would snuff out the 6 side stands. He would fill them and then and light them with the middle and then snuff out the middle and fill it with oil. Every night before they would go to bed, they would come and they would fill that oil, that lamp again with oil. Every morning it would get filled, Brother John, and every night it would get filled. All through the day it was burning because it was filled. And you know that oil is the type of the Holy Ghost. I'm not telling you something you don't know. Do you know what my generation's lacking? It's lacking being filled with the Holy Ghost. Our generation, this generation we're living in, we've tried every method. Am I telling it right? We've tried every method. Hey, we've got some of the smartest preachers we've ever had in this day and time. Now, I'm not saying wisest, but we've got some of the smartest, amen. Brother Sexton, we've got more book learning. Hey, we've got all these things. Hey, but we're missing the main ingredient, and that's the Holy Ghost. We tried it and tried it and tried it. We tried church without Him. We got it down to science. I believe most preachers wouldn't, and I'm not being critical, please understand that, but I believe most pastors this morning, they wouldn't have realized it if the Holy Ghost didn't show up because they've done it so long without Him. Amen. We know the right songs. We know when to raise our hand. We know when to shout glory, and most of it is a farce. We've lived like the world and the devil, and maybe we hadn't even lived wicked, but we just lived cold all week. And we want to come in here and play church. Hey, I believe God's tired of it. I believe God's tired of it. Hey, I'm telling you, He wants us to be filled. Young person being filled with the Holy Ghost isn't for just gray-headed people. Hey, mama, being filled with the Holy Ghost just ain't for daddy. Daddy, just being filled with the Holy Ghost ain't just for the man of God. I'm telling you this morning, we need an old-fashioned dose of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Seven times in the book of Acts it says being filled with the Holy Ghost. It's not charismatic, it's automatic, amen. Being filled with the Holy Ghost ain't going to make you speak in tongues. This will blow both Baptist minds, but it ain't for a message, it's not for a shout. Being filled with the Holy Ghost will make you want to serve God. That's what it was about in the book of Acts. 42 times the name the Holy Ghost is mentioned in the book of Acts. We say, well, we want the power of God like they had in the book of Acts. We want the move of God. We want to see people saved. I'm telling you, it wasn't in their personalities. It wasn't in their knowledge. It wasn't because they had some great method or some PowerPoint. It was because they had the power of the Holy Ghost. I believe there's some reasons we're not filled with the Holy Ghost this morning. I'll give you these and I'll be done. I believe we're not filled because some of us ain't saved. There's my dad's still a pastor, but there's people in my dad's church, and I remember growing up, and he would preach to them and preach to them and preach to them both sides, and they just never would do right. They wasn't going to do right. I had one woman, I got up and preached on country music one night. I know that surprises y'all, but I preached on country music one night, and she cussed me from the pew all the way to the car. I mean, cussed me like a sailor. Make a sailor blush. Y'all understand what I'm saying? 2 weeks later, she came down and got saved. Didn't surprise me a bit. Come up to me and said, "Preacher, I cussed you and I'm sorry." Hey, most people ain't saved. I believe that, Brother Stetson. I believe most people in our churches, we've got a good outside like that biscuit, but we've never been saved on the inside. I'm telling you, I believe it. I'm not preaching you got to be perfect. I'm not saying that, but I still believe old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If you can do wrong over and over and over again and get by, I believe you need to check up. And I'm not downplaying this. I'm not downplaying doubt. I believe doubt is real. I believe the devil can come in and make you doubt. I believe some people, their mind, just like some people deal with pride, some people deal with bitterness, some people deal with doubt. But I believe a lot of people that doubt 20 and 30 years, Brother Sexton, I believe they really just need to get the goods. They need to get the goods. I believe that a lot of us aren't filled because we're not saved. But nextly, I believe a lot of us aren't filled is because of sin. And I know I've already preached it, but I'm going to give you this and I'll move on. If my wife cooked a good... I left out at lunch one day and she said she was going to cook a good supper and have it ready by 6 o'clock. And I went out that day from 12 to 6 and I got me milkshakes and Cheetos and went and got me a Big Mac on the side and some chips and ate me a bunch of snack food and a couple more milkshakes. By the time I got to home to that night, I might be able to pull up to the table and eat one little bite. But that fried chicken and them biscuits and that cream corn, I ain't going to be able to do nothing to it because I'll already be full of something else. And I believe a lot of us is full of something else. How many, I'm not being critical, I'm not being ugly, but how many people came in here this morning prayed up like we need to be? I know we can pray all day and not be prayed, but y'all understand what I'm saying. How many of us came in here prayed up this morning? How many of us came in here with the Word of God on our heart? How many of us came in here with a song on our heart and on our mind? How many of us came in here ready not to get out, but to get in this morning? This morning, we've gotten filled with so much other stuff. We can't get filled with God. A vessel will only hold so much. But eventually, if I pour any more water in that, eventually it's going to pour out over the top. Because it can't hold anymore. The reason we can't get more God is because we're filled with everything else. And I'll say this, and I'll be done. I believe what bitterness and pride and all those things, I believe the last reason we're not filled is because we're satisfied. You know, I believe that's the biggest downfall of our day is we're satisfied. Yes, sir. We're satisfied. Why aren't our loved ones getting saved? I'm just being honest. Why aren't we seeing revival? Why are there going to be, and I'm not being critical, Brother Sexton, but why are there going to be empty pews today? Why are there not going to be 15, 16 saved in the next 2 weeks? It's not the will of God that they not be saved. It's His will that none should perish. Ain't that right? All should come to repentance. Ain't that right? God is sitting there in heaven and He's not holding the Bible out like a carrot to a horse. God is sitting there in heaven and He's wanting to pour out of His Spirit. He's wanting to move on us again. He's wanting to give us His power and fill us up once again. He's wanting to send revival. But what are we doing? We're being satisfied. We're satisfied with this world. We're satisfied with playing church. And I'm not being ugly today. I believe y'all got a great church. But how much more could it be? How much more could it be? Preacher, how much more could your preaching be? Mama, how much more of a godly mother could you be if you were filled up this morning? Daddy, how much more of a daddy, how much more of a Sunday school teacher or a singer could you be if you were filled up this morning? We're not filled. There's probably people in here, I know there are, that you've been filled. I mean, I believe in one baptism and many fillings. I believe there's people probably in here, Brother Sexton, they've been filled before. They're not now. They're living, they're running on empty. Heard Brother Mark Stroud say this one time, and I really am. I'm about to be done. I promise. You can go down. You can coast down a hill on empty, but you ain't gonna climb on empty. You're not gonna do it. You know what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17? It said, "Wherefore, understanding, wherefore being unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord? And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled." With the Spirit. You can be working in ministry like God wants you to and doing all the things and raising your family and all these things. But if you're not filled with the Spirit, I don't believe you can be in the will of God. So what the Bible says right there, this morning, why ain't we burning? Are you familiar this morning? You letting God form you this morning? When was the last time you were filled? Preacher, I'm finished.
Thank you, Brother Hewitt. I'm going to ask Brother Allen, if you would, you come. Maybe the Lord spoke to somebody's heart this morning. We'll ask you to bow your head. We're going to have one verse of a song. God spoke to your heart. You be obedient to the Spirit of God. And Brother Allen, when you find your song, you go ahead and start this moment.